Okay, good morning, everybody. Another strong outing this morning. See a very nice attendance from Shonabet.
Yeah, is that
a... Yes. One of my favorite Divrei Torah that I've heard from Rabbi of mine, Rav Nissim Kaplan, is from this week's parasha, and I think it has a tremendous, tremendous life lesson. Perhaps I'll add some things that, towards the end. But basically, so it is that the Medrash tells us, the woman would be going through the Yamsuf, or the Abasha, and her child would be crying in her hand. She'd be poshetis yadav notas tapuach orima mitoch yam venosenoslo. She'd reach into the water, pull out an apple or a pomegranate, and give it to the child. And we assume the child would be satisfied and stop crying. We assume. And the question is, and this is just one of the many miracles that happened within the Yamsuf. For example, if the sea would split and it would be muddy on the ground of the sea, it would still have been a tremendous miracle. It didn't have to be Yabosha Mahamish. If the, as Medrash tells us, that it was clear, the walls were clear, they could see each shaven one to the other. All these seemingly extra miracles seem to be quite superfluous, unnecessary. The same question can be asked, essentially, the same question can be asked by Chanukah as well. It's, Chaim Shulovitz speaks about this, that the nes of the Milchama was absolutely necessary. But what essentially was the necessity for the miracle of the Pach HaShemen? Again, it seems to be superfluous. And to explain these two elements is as follows. You have to use the following halach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take us out of Mitzrayim. He had to. He promised Avraham Avinu was going to take us out of Mitzrayim. Right? They're going to leave with wealth. They're going to go. And don't worry, they're going to come back. They're going to be Eretz Lohem. They'll be Avadim. But eventually I'm going to take them out. I'm going to bring them back to Eretz Canaan, to Eretz Israel. He had to. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show us was he's doing Kriyas Yamsuf. He's taking care of us. Not because he has to, because he promised Avraham Avinu. But rather because he loves us. So how does he do that? How does he express that love? By showing us these little small miracles that seem to be superfluous, but they're there specifically to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not doing the nes of the Kriyas Yamsuf. He's not doing Yetzias Mitzrayim with all the splendor and all the greatness that we saw just because he has to, but rather because he loves us. He loves Klal Yisrael. The same thing can be said about Hanukkah, right? That we know that the Jews were in a very, very precarious situation during the times of the Chashem Noam, in terms of their religious observance. And yet, the Chashem Noam took it upon themselves, their Motsi Nefesh, and they won the Milchama, but that wasn't enough. Kodesh Baruch wanted to show them an extra aspect of love, and that's why he added the Nes of the Pach Shemen. Now, how did Klal Yisrael respond to this love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we know that as this year they say the three very famous words, Zeh Keli V'Anveil, this is my God and I will glorify Him. And we know the Gemara Shabbos brought down in many places in Shas, Hismel fun of mitzvahs. This is the core. This is the source for the idea of hidden mitzvah. Whether hidden mitzvah is a new mitzvah or whether it's an added component of the basic the mitzvah that we're beautifying, however you learn up the sugya, zekel vanveu was the response of Klal Yisrael to Kodesh Baruch Hu's extra miracles by Kriyas Yamsuf. So you see a tremendous yisod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes the extra mile for Klal Yisrael to show he loves them. And how does Klal Yisrael respond? We're going to follow your lead. We're not going to do things because we have to. I am obligated to do mitzvahs because I'm a Jew. I was born a Jew. And I have to do mitzvahs because I have to do my mitzvahs because that's what I'm obligated to do. No. I'm going to do it because I love you. I love you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How am I going to express that? I'm not just going to do the mitzvah of lulav and sukkah and shofar in a basic way. I'm going to do it in a beautiful way. I'm going to spend a third more than I would have spent on the mitzvah. So that's the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on face value, what does that mean to us, practically speaking? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should feel the same love that he had for Klal Yisrael then exists now. And it doesn't only exist on a national level, it exists on a personal level. Everybody has to see in their own lives the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving to them. And I'm sure everybody can find that find that those elements, those points in their life, that they should see the love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we should respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by not doing the mitzvahs because we have to, but rather because we want to. Why do we want to? Because we recognize the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing towards us, and we should respond in kind. That's Bein Adam L'Makom, and that's something that what Klal Yisrael saw then, we should also try to see in our individual, our personal lives as well. Which reminds, you know, last night I was talking to one of the Shana'av boys, and he was saying to me, you know, I'd love to see open miracles. I'd love to see open miracles today. I said, if you saw open miracles today, this is my typical response. If you saw open miracles today, everything would be so poshut. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be a nisayon, wants it to be a challenge. If we would all see open miracles left and right, everybody would see a personal miracle, an open miracle in their life. So, there would be no kind of onesh, no point. So then he asked a good question. He said, hey, but you see that what? In those times, they saw miracles. They saw the Makos, and they saw Kriyas Yamsuf. It's a very, very good question. So I said, but you know what? You see from the fact that even in this week's Parsha, right after they saw the Makos, they were still complaining. When they go into the Midbar, after they have the Mon, they're still complaining. You see that, no, every generation has their own Isyonos. I think it's Emes Lamito. We say now, in our generation, if we would see open miracles, we can't see open miracles, then it would be pasha to us. But in that generation, they were able to see open miracles. Why? Because it was still in Nisayon. So what do you see? That every single generation and every single person has his own challenges and his own Nisayonos. And it's always everybody's sort of in the same boat, right? And I think it's so true that in those generations, it was still in Nisayon to have open miracles. But in our generation, that wouldn't be the case. But that's the basic pasha pshat in this yisod. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is expressing extra love to us, and we respond in kind. But Rav Nissen Kaplan wanted to take it a step further in terms of Bein Adam L'Chavero. And when it comes to interpersonal relationships, whether we're talking about a relationship with a husband and wife, whether we're talking about a relationship between a parent and a child, whether we're talking about a relationship between roommates, whether we're talking about shear mates, if you're in the same shear as somebody else, or your Rebbe, there's two ways of approaching other people. I'm helping you because I have to, or I'm helping you, or I'm taking care of you because I want to, and I love you, and I express that warmth. And the marshal that I once heard is as follows, right? Man wants to buy a gift for his wife. So, he buys her a diamond necklace, he throws it in a paper bag, and he gives her a diamond necklace. Here you go, here's the diamond necklace. Very nice. Is that going to garner warmth and love and friendship? Probably not. All he's doing is giving a gift because he has to give the gift. He's giving a gift because he has to. But if he goes the extra mile, and he goes and he gets a nice box, and he wraps it up with beautiful wrapping paper, and he gives it in a very, very warm and nice fashion, so what does that engender? It engenders a tremendous amount of warmth and love. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us. That if you want somebody to respond to you with warmth, you have to show them that you're going the extra mile for them. And you're doing things for them, not because you have to, because you want to. And a person can do that. A guy asks you for a favor. Go bring me a cup of tea. Yeah, you can you can begrudgingly say, okay, fine, I'll get you a cup of water. Okay, fine, I'll get you a tea. Or you can do it with simple, with a big smile. You can see a guy in the morning in the yeshiva and say, oh, good morning, how you doing? Or you can say, good morning, how you doing? And if a person goes lives life with this mahalach, that I'm doing things for other people, in addition to doing things for Hashem, because he wants to and not because he has to, you'll see your whole life will change. In the business world, if you're an employee of a company and you have your coworkers, even your boss, and you are warm with him and you say, yes, I'll go the extra mile for you, yes, I'll put in extra time, it doesn't matter if you're getting extra pay or not, and you show him the extra that you're doing it not because you have to, because you want to, you'll still get far. It's an amazing thing that what's Pasha taught us by Midos has weight in the world at large. Okay, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole story, but I felt that a little bit this week. Like, I was in the police station this past week for whatever reason, and it was actually a pretty scary, very unique experience. But the point is that I walked around. I really didn't have anything to lose. I wasn't in trouble. I wonder if my parents will listen to this. I haven't told them yet. It wasn't. The whole story wasn't a big deal. But I don't know. I felt like they were helping me out. I don't know. I felt like it happened to be one particular guy who was really trying to help me. In the end, I spent an hour and a half there, and they didn't really help me. But people were very, very nice and very warm. But I thought the pshat was that I expressed a certain level of warmth to these people, and they responded in kind. And I think it in all areas of life. And I know there this past week there are roommate issues in this thing, and there's shiris in there. If a person, if we mechazik ourselves in bein ol chaver and being warm to other people, you'll get a lot farther in life. That's point number one. I think it's a tremendous life lesson. Last night I was listening to, as I was doing stuff at home, I was listening to, I went on the website TorahAnytime.com. My father highly recommends this website, so I went and I like listening to official Shachter. When it's late at night, I was doing stuff for the yeshiva, whatever. He said an unbelievable story that he heard last week, and I want to share it with you. I think it relates to Mesiras Nefesh that we saw, in, you know, we see this week with Nachshon Ben Aminadov, and also I think it relates to Shovim, purity. He said he met a guy last week and told him the following story. I'll tell you three stories to drive home the point. And it also relates to Parnasa, which is very much related to this week's parasha with the man. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of Parnasa. He said that there's a guy who has a big company, a furniture company. And there was an upcoming show in Las Vegas. And this show, you go there, you're matzliach, you show the right product, you can impress the right people, you can basically feel secure for the year, you get your contracts, you find your clients. It's really the foundation of the year. Foundation of the year, if not years in terms of parnasa, right? We know that your parnasa kotsuf is set aside on Rosh Hashanah. In his mind, logistically, it's through this convention. So apparently, from what I understand, he was nervous about going, or he stam happened to be schmoozing with his Rosh Hashiva, and he said, you know, I'm going to the big show in Las Vegas next week to show my wares, show my products. And that's really most important thing. That's the most important show of the whole year. So he said, Las Vegas? Can't go to Las Vegas. It's totally awesome. It's pritzus. He said, yeah, but it's my whole parnasa. Not only that, my partner is going to go crazy on me. I can't miss it. He said, what do you mean? You can't go. It's a spiritual sakana. You know what you're going to see there? No kind of atmosphere is going to be in Las Vegas. You push it, you can't go. You cannot go. He said, you know what, Rosh Hashiva, you know, I don't mind going. Okay, fine. You know, now everybody's into schoolers, everybody's into things. He said, fine, Rosh Hashiva, you used to tell me I can't go. I want a bracha from you that by not going, I'll be zoche to get back more than I lose. So Rosh Hashiva responds, I'm Rosh Hashiva. I don't know what, fill in the blank. I'm not a blank that I can give you just a bracha and it's going to happen. Okay. But the Rebbe, Mekuba, whatever he said, I don't know exactly what the Mekuba was. He said, I'm Rosh Hashiva. I'm telling you the halacha. I'm telling you what's right, what's wrong. I'm not giving you a bracha. Fine. He decides, you know what? I have first of all, Nissen Kaplan always says, if you do the right thing, you never lose. That's his yisod. Something to keep in mind. Anyway, Bekitzer, the guy decides in his mind he's not going. The next day he gets a phone call from apparently a television show of some sort. And they were doing a feature on furniture, and they want to do a feature on his company. And sure enough, they came down to his company, and they did a whole show. And there was tremendous advertising in that year. And from that story came a tremendous amount of business. So he saw the Yad Hashem. Mamash, he saw the Min HaShemayim over here. He decided not to go to Vegas. And all of a sudden, this opportunity of this television show. Of course, he didn't have to watch the television, but he was able to. He was interviewed, and the program came to him. So at the end of the video shoot, so he asks this woman, you know, oh, I think he decided to tell this woman. If you want to listen to this story firsthand, you can listen. Go on TorahAnytime.com. Look over official chapter from this week's parasha. Anyway, from this week, there's an icon that says recent shiurim. Anyway, he says to the lady, he says, you know, how did you find me? She says, you're not going to believe this. I was driving around Vegas, and I passed by a billboard. I got lost, and I passed by a billboard, and the billboard had your company name on it. So I said, okay. And then I got lost again. And I passed the billboard again, and I saw your company name again. And then I turned on the radio, and I heard about your company again. Agav, the guy says before he was going to go to Vegas, he took out ads on the radio, right? Because he was coming in preparation of him coming, And when he realized it wasn't coming, he canceled it. But they said already one of the commercials, audio commercials, is already set to go. You can't cancel that one. We have to go through with that one. So this was the one commercial that she heard, and she said she was a Jewish lady. Wasn't from. She remembers one word from her late grandmother, and that was the word Basheret. So she said something's going on over here. And apparently, a few minutes later, she got a call from her boss. They want to do a feature on a furniture company. And that was the story. That was the Hashgacha Pratis. The Yisod is a person's Mesu Nefesh. Yisod Nachshon Ben Aminadov. The Kodesh Baruch Hu takes care of him. The same guy goes to China. I imagine from the way the official Shechter tells over the story, I imagine this happens afterwards. So he sees the importance of Shmiras Ha'inayim, of Kedusha, of purity, and how it relates to Parnassa. I once had a friend who wrote a whole Shtikl Torah on this Nakuda, based on Yosef HaTzadik, that we know he's successful in Parnassa, and he's also refrained from these types of, maintained his purity, even in Mitzrayim. I have the Dvar Torah somewhere at home, but there's a correlation. The guy goes to China, and he said, and he's very into the Shmiras Ha'inayim, he's very into the Kedusha and Tahara, and he says to himself, you know what, when I go to this hotel, I do not even want the television in my hotel room. I don't want a computer. I don't want a television. He's all by himself in China. He doesn't want it. So he tells the hotel, he says, I don't care what it costs me. I need you to come into my room before I come there. I don't want a television in my room. I don't want any computers in my room. Okay? On this particular business trip, he finds out that a huge competitor, like a much, 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 much bigger company, is talking to his manufacturer, the place where he manufactures, and may buy the contract with his manufacturer in China, and he's going to lose the contract. So he assumes in his mind that it's not going to work out. To make a long story short, the next day he gets picked up by his contact in the company, and the guy says, you know, we're sticking with you. He said, why are you sticking with me? He said, when I told my boss, the head of the whole warehouse, the head of the whole manufacturing company, about you, that you took out the TV in your room because you want to be pure, he said, you're a holy man, and we need to do business with you. We're not ditching you. We're not going to the other company. And these are stories. Okay, somebody asked me last night, he wants to see open miracles. Are these open miracles? They're pretty close. But a person has to open his eyes and see them. And a person also, you're not going to see them if you're not Moshe Nefesh. Then he told over another Maisa, Rav Fishel Shafter. He said 27 years ago when he started saying Daf Yomi, listen to this. This will blow you away. But this is how we have to live. And when he told me about Shovim, you have to person has to say to himself, and this is the person has to say to himself, anytime you don't look at something you're not supposed to look, whether it's on a bus or whatever it is, okay? And for all those people I heard this past week, I couldn't believe it hurt me to hear somebody in Israeli politics say, oh, this is not the country I dreamed about or my parents dreamed about to have separate buses. I'm not saying yes, no, but Lamaisa, I hope it's not too political, but if Egid decides they want to cater to a certain community and have buses there that are separate because there are things in Shmiras Ha'inayim which is real, then that's Egid's prerogative, that's their prerogative. To get up and say, oh, this is not the country I dreamed about or my parents dreamed about, okay, it's very sad. Unfortunately, people don't live a life of Torah. And if they don't live a life of Torah, they're dafka kineged Torah. Putting that aside, 27 years ago, before cell phones, before any of this, or his official Shafter gave a Daf Yomi Shir, he gets a call at 3:00 in the morning from somebody that wants to discuss the Pnei Yeshua about the Daf. So he said to him, why are you calling me? He said, you don't understand. I'm stuck in China on a business trip. My company sent me here. And there's not another from Jew within 50-mile radius. And in my hotel is Pritzis Galore. And I know that if I don't learn the daf and learn it properly, if I don't do it, get into learning, I'll fall. I can ruin my whole life. My whole life, if I'm not pure. And that's what I need to. And that's why I'm sorry I called you 3 o'clock in the morning. So he says to him, you're calling me from China? This is 27 years ago. He said, how much is this phone call going to cost you? He said, $500, and I would pay another $500. That's the episode. He says, I know it. I once heard Rabbi Leib Kellerman said over a story. I don't remember the exact details, but he had to go to Eilat for something. I don't know if he went with his kid he went with one of his kids. Oh, you guys are going to Eilat. But anyway, he went with his kid to Eilat. So he asked his Rebbe if he's allowed to go to Eilat because he needed to go for something. I don't remember the details of the story. So he went to his Rebbe, and the Rebbe told him a Gemara. I'm not sure about the Gemara, the exact Gemara, but basically the Gemara says that your heart, your eyes. There's a connection between your eyes and your heart. I forgot exactly the nusach of the Gemara, that your eyes and your heart are connected. So he said, if you go down to Eilat and you're learning in a sugya, your whole essence is involved in a sugya, so then your eyes won't be affected, because your heart is going to be preoccupied with learning Torah and learning Torah B'iyun, as already Olson spoke about last week, that protects you. So then your eyes won't be affected, because you'll be too preoccupied with what's going on in your heart. That's the yisod. A person, A, has to recognize that he should not be seeing things, and B, if he protect, he can't put himself in those situations. I, Parnassa in Vegas, you're in a hotel anyway, what's the big deal, the TV is there. You have to spend $500 to call somebody for that, feel me? But what do you see from all these three stories? When you're moisha nefesh, and you do the right thing, you don't lose. And a person, A, has to recognize what's right and what's wrong. And once he sets up what's right and what's wrong, he has to figure out how can he prevent himself from becoming too challenged, or over-challenged, or putting himself in a very, very dangerous spiritual position. So I guess the lessons of today are, recognize the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you in your lives, and then respond in kind, and you'll see. If you push a little bit, I'm not saying start learning 18 hours a day, and daven every tefillah b'kavana, and say every bracha b'kavana, and make these huge, huge, tremendous goals, which we should all strive to that. We should all strive. Small, little by little, everybody can grow. Little by little, show that love. It's small. You're about to send a text message in the middle of Seder. I had it this week. Somebody gave me regards from somebody in the middle of the night Seder who I haven't been in touch with in a while. I went to get my phone. I was about to take it out to give him a text message. I said, no, I'm not doing it right now. I'm not texting him. I'm in the middle of Seder. Little victories in Mesiras Nefesh to show your love back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number two, Shmir Sinaim, Shovavim. This person said if he wouldn't call and spend $500 to talk about Pnei Yeshua, he's nervous about his life. What's the big deal? What's he going to see already? What's he going to do already? No, every little bit is metam tame the soul. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us. We should have a great Shabbos. And also the interpersonal relationship idea. The person should be mechazik already now when you're still bachrim. When you're still bachrim, start training yourself for those days of marriage. But you go the extra mile for your roommates and for your family, Mir Hashem, then you'll have happy marriages, Mir Hashem. We'll fill the Kedusha and Tahara. Have a great Shabbos. Yeah.